Welcome to Real Money Radio, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. Here's your host, certified financial planner, David Holland.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Glad you're with me. And we're going to shift gears, as we often do, and I tell you that I do on the program. And it's fun because we get a lot of interesting guests. I do my own programs as well, but I like bringing in interesting guests that can hit this financial subject from a lot of different angles. And we're going to be focusing in on really some nuts and bolts about your personal finances. And we're really fortunate. Beth lined up a wonderful guest in Mr. Kerry Siegel. He's an author and he's a retired business executive and he's written the book. This is just perfect. Ready? Why Didn't They Teach Me This in School? 99 Personal Money Management Principles to Live By. You can get the book on Amazon or you can get it on the website, which is very clever. Ready? Here's the website. Why Didn't They Teach Me This in School.com. Kerry does a lot of speaking around the country. He's a retired business executive, as I mentioned. He earned his MBA from the University of Chicago, began his career in brand management with Kraft, and then went on to lead several companies in marketing and sales. He's done a lot of speaking at over 50 sales meetings and marketing seminars. He lives in Florida with his wife and five teenage children, Lord help him. And he, following the principles in his book, with a little bit of hard work, I'm sure, he retired at 45. How about that? Kerry, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much, Dave.
Hey, listen. I'm glad you're with us. And so you're an executive. You're doing the American dream, the American way, working hard. And you applied these principles that we're going to be talking about in the book. And you really retired at 45.
Yeah. You know,
wow.
I was working pretty hard.
I bet
very, very hard. I enjoyed what I was doing. But you know what? I had the ability to do what I wanted to do at a younger age, and my kids were young. I've got five teenage kids, and at the age when I retired, they were still in middle school and elementary school, so it allowed me to do what I wanted to do and also do a lot of hobbies that I wanted to do. I didn't retire, you know, to go run around in Europe and do things because I didn't have quite that kind of money, but I made a trade-off in life and said, you know what, this is what I want.
All right. Well, fair enough. I mean, yeah, life's about choices, and you know, you can choose what, you know, a lot of things that you people can do that don't cost a lot or they're free. You know, walking on the beach is free. And so, you know,
things
like that. So, excellent. So what prompted you? I know that you've lived by these lessons yourself. What prompted you to write the book? I mean, you know, these are things that you're putting out there. Why didn't they teach me this in school? What prompted you to write it and why don't they teach it?
You know, it took me a while to write it. What I was doing over when I was traveling for my career, I would write down little notes to myself on things that are, you know, from a standpoint of managing your money, finances, whatever it may be, that I wanted to pass on to my kids. So what I decided to do when I retired, I just sort of put it in, I was going to put it in a folder and put it sort of in a, not even a book. And when I started doing it and thinking about it, and people said, yeah, that's really interesting. Well, you know what, let me formalize it for them, not for anybody else. And as I did that, you know, I have a marketing background too, and I decided to make it look sort of good. So I worked with a organization that's part of Amazon, a place called CreateSpace, and turned it into a book that I had no intention, by the way, of really selling. It was, again, more for family and friends. And as I put it on Amazon, it sold like crazy because there's a lack of, I'll call it, simple, logical thought processes when it comes to learning about money and how to manage it. And my book, if you look at it, is just very, very simple and easy to communicate to folks without making it difficult for them to digest.
That's great, Kerry. Let me ask you this: who's a good target for your book? Is it young, middle age? Is it anywhere in life? I mean, are these principles that are not just for, you know, somebody in junior high or high school?
Yeah, you know what's interesting is I get probably at least a dozen emails a week and different people calling me for advice and asking, and a lot of them are older than I thought. I intended it to be call it 18 and up. And really more towards the 18 to 30 year olds, which they do buy it. It's very significant for them because it's written in their type of a format. But what I've found is that it's lacking throughout adulthood, as you can see what happened, you know, 8-9 years ago and continues to still happen in terms of how people are managing their money. They're not doing it. So I'm getting more, I'll call it, calls and emails from folks that are in their 40s, 50s, and even I've helped people in their budgets with their budgets who are in their 60s and 70s.
Well, and that's what I was thinking, is that as as people get, obviously something's very important to understand some of these basic principles, and we'll get into some of them in just a moment, but to understand the basics, some of these building blocks of smart money strategies and just things to do, not necessarily anything complicated or convoluted in terms of some sophisticated strategy, but just basic ideas and concepts that everybody should definitely look at. But the ironic thing is that and this is a lot of what I see in doing the work I do with people that are either retired or want to be retired, that some of the basics, as you said earlier, they get missed. And so we come back to some of the basics. So I can see your book being just as applicable for somebody who's, 60 or even 70 or, so years old versus somebody who's maybe, 15 or 20.
Yeah, look at you and I, Dave. Okay, we understand this because we gravitated toward it in our schooling and understood it. I didn't understand science, didn't like it, didn't enjoy it. So anything scientific is beyond me. The same thing happens the reverse way. People who don't have this in what they want to do or what they want to think about as they're growing up or as they go through school or in their 20s, they've totally avoided it. And they say, well, I'll just make enough money or I'll do that and I won't have to deal with it. And they're wrong when they think like that. And they find out at a bad time that they're wrong. You can see it, anywhere that you go. It's just people gravitate towards what they like, and they look at anything financial as being very difficult and hard, when it really isn't if you break it down and you try to make it easy for folks. Just like if somebody would have taught me science the right way that was simple for myself, I never did that.
Yeah, well, you've definitely done that with breaking it down with this book, and I'm really glad you've shared it with us. Why didn't they teach me this in school? 99 Personal Money Management Principles to Live By. Author Carrie Siegel is our guest today, and of course the website whydidntheyteachmethisinschool.com. Quick break, word from our sponsors, come back and dig into some of the principles. Start with the three top principles in the book, and then we'll dig a little deeper after that. Stay right there.
Hello, I'm Brenda Campbell, General Manager at Volusia Memorial Funeral Home and Cemetery. Cremation is a choice that is chosen by many today. Our caring professionals will gladly work with you to plan cremation services and memorializations that fulfill your wishes and honor the life lived. At Volusia Memorial Funeral Home and Cemetery, we offer a wide variety of options, from urns for burial to many other choices. There are many ways to honor your loved one following a cremation. We can be reached at 386-673-5373 or our website, VolusiaMemorialFunerals.com. Volusia Memorial Funeral Home in Port Orange and Ormond Beach. Life well celebrated.
The Rice and Rose Law Firm is celebrating 30 years of service in Volusia and Flagler counties. I'm Paul Rice, president and managing partner of Rice and Rose. The Rice and Rose Law Firm has a department dedicated to estate planning, wills, trusts, and probate. We also provide legal guidance if you need a power of attorney, living will, or healthcare surrogate. Contact the Rice and Rose Law Firm at our Daytona Beach office at 257-1222 or visit our website at ricerosenlaw.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Dan Drake. My staff and I have enjoyed delivering excellent, lasting dental care to countless patients for many years. We are a modern dental practice offering a full range of services, including cosmetic, implant, Invisalign, and general dentistry. Additionally, I'm one of only a few dentists licensed to perform IV sedation, sleep dentistry to help those of you who are anxious. My belief and commitment is to deliver outstanding dental care and positive patient experiences. We look forward to serving you. If you have a dental question or concern, don't hesitate to call us at 386-673-1611 or visit AtlanticDentists.com.
Hi, this is David Holland. I've been going to Dr. Drake's office for over 20 years. I trust them, and you can too.
Since 1997, David Holland has built a solid reputation in our local community as an independent financial advisor. Just as important, Holland Financial's professional team has grown to include 3 experienced certified financial planners, a tax accountant, an attorney, 3 chartered financial consultants, accredited asset management specialists, and certified annuity specialists. Our attentive and professional staff gives prompt and individualized attention to each and every one of our clients. Count on Holland Financial for your financial advice, not only for today, but for many years to come. Call Holland Financial at 671-PLAN or visit us online at planstronger.com.
And we are back. Why didn't they teach me this in school? That's the website. That's the book. 99 Personal Money Management Principles to Live By, created by Kerry Siegel, our guest today, retired business executive, living and doing, what they say, walk the walk, doing the talk, or anyway, he's making it happen, retired at an early age, and enjoying life and living by these principles. And we're digging into his book and unwrapping it. And we wanted to get into this a little bit with you, Kerry, if we could. There's 99 principles. We can't get to all of them, but let's start with maybe the top three that you say, hey, here are the three big ones, or at least if you had to pick three, let's start with those. What are they?
Okay, there's three that if you pinpoint these three and you do them, it is impossible to get behind in life in terms of money. And I think that's one of the most important things that people need to know. First one is, and it's simple, always live below your means. It sounds simple, but Americans, we tend to be pigs. You know, our generation wants everything now. We can't wait to afford it. If you start off doing this right from the start, or if you're at a certain point right now, if you start living this way, you're always going to have extra money to save and invest. What I'm saying, again, is live below your means. It doesn't mean, by the way, living badly. It just means you have to prioritize your wants and needs. And that's important, wants and needs. And a lot of people don't realize, you know, a need is you have a house or you have a place to live, shelter. It can be a house, it can be an apartment, it can be any different size. It's what you want that gets you to the next level that's tough.
Yeah.
I'll give you a quick example just to highlight it a bit. A star quarterback in the NFL, if they're making $15 million a year, and they're spending $17 million, they're not going to be in good shape. The same for somebody who's making $30,000 a year. They have to spend $20,000 a year, and you know what? They're going to be way better off 10 years from now. So that's number one. Number two, and this is something that 95% of the people don't do, and it's very simple. They think it's painful, but it's so simple. Develop a written budget, track and analyze it every single month. And the concept is easy again here. More money has to come in every month than goes out. Okay? You have to track it and you have to analyze it, which sounds, oh, track, analyze, that stuff. No. It takes about a half an hour every month. But you have to complete all parts of it. You have to develop it. You have to track it. You have to analyze. Mm. Where did you spend too much? What do you need to change next month? Okay? You've got to do that. If you do that, it's simple. You can't get behind.
Well, hold on. Now, Kerry, sure. I got to tell you, we just lost half the audience because some people think that the word budget is a four-letter word.
Right.
I mean, it's,
right.
I mean, it's like, well, wait a minute. You want me to, it's one of the big fights that sometimes we see between families and a couple, with couples.
Yep. So, they don't want to look at it because they're afraid of what they're going to see.
Yeah.
And that's exactly why people get into trouble.
Yeah,
and you know as well as I do that it's a basic thing to do. I did it out of my I had something I threw on my shoebox starting out of school. It was a one page little sheet. It was simple. The end is simple because it's really usually just pay. You know, there might be something else as you get older, investments, whatever. The out is there's a ton of things that you can spend money on, and you've got to make sure you prioritize. You know, if entertainment's important to you, you're going to have to spend less on something else. If you want to pay back your college loans or your car loan or your house loan or your mortgage, then you've got to cut off something else. But people don't want to do that.
No, you're right. You're right, Kerry. And it does require, and you said they don't want to necessarily look at it because they don't like what they're going to see. And I'll add to that that I think it's also that people just simply don't want to be told no, and they don't want to be restrained, and they want to, because, you know, there's a psychological or actual physical response to spending money that stimulates our brains and releases those happy hormones.
Absolutely. you hit the nail on the head there, too. You know, I titled my book, Why Didn't They Teach Me This in School? But I tell this when I go around the country and I talk to schools, I talk to different folks, but when I talk to a high school, I'll tell them, or a college, I'll say, look, I'm not blaming your schools, actually. It's a good title. It makes sense. There is a lot, but they're not doing a lot. schools, and they should be. It should be required to be learning about money management, and every single curriculum should have it. But parents let the kids down because of what you just said before that. They don't say no to anything, okay? They don't say, no, we can't afford that. No, you know what? I'll tell you, I've seen people in my own neighborhood that have lost homes, yet I know because I'll see their kids, they're my Facebook friend, and I'll see they've still got more things than my kids have because they're not telling their kids no, and they're not showing them, you know what? You can't live like this. You're not going to make it in life if you don't change your habits. It's very interesting human when you look at it. It's a human behavior, you know, factor of that. You know, it's simple, but yet people don't do it.
Is there a shift? I mean, from your vantage point, Carrie, is there a shift in a sense of entitlement that's been going on in our culture, where you know, from everybody gets a participation trophy to. You know, to and again, that's many. We've had that conversation many times going home after the ball game. But you know, is that some of it? And we see it now, even popping up in politics and the political speeches being pretty much okay. Well, whatever you want, we'll give you. And I mean, is that what's happening? Is that part of the challenge here?
It's definitely part of the challenge. It's definitely part of the challenge. And when you bring up government, for example, something like I'll give you a quick one on that. Is we've also taught folks, we've taught people that. Debt is okay, okay? And I tell people in my book, debt is bad. The problem is everybody's teaching you that it's okay from the government and people saying, hey, we're $19 trillion in debt, and it's okay. But that's not the case. You know, it's not okay. It's not okay, by the way, what we've taught people, families have taught people, it's okay to walk away from your home because you can't afford it. That's not okay. And if people start teaching that and living that, what's going to happen is that sense of entitlement. We all should have a nice home. Well, you know what? You know, everybody can't have everything.
Right.
And you've got to make trade-offs in life. And, you know, if I get good running shoes because I run, okay?
Okay.
I spend money on that.
Yeah.
I get a lousy haircut because I don't care about my hair as much. So I spend less on that. I spend more on my shoes. It's a simple example. But it's what you do. You can't.
Something's got to give.
You've got to figure out what's important to you, not to anybody else. To you.
That's right. Something's got to give, right? I mean, if you're burning through a pair of running shoes every 300 or 400 miles, then you know the hair may be. You might be wearing it in a ponytail.
Right. No, you're right. Exactly. But it really is the trade-offs, and that's the thing that is so difficult for people to realize is you've got to trade things off, and if you don't teach your kids that, then there's going to be a problem.
Yeah.
Later on in their life.
I hear you. Well, we'll grab a quick break. We'll come back and finish with some more the other principle. I know you got one more big one, and then we'll get into some of the others. You're just joining us. Great conversation here with Carrie Siegel, author, retired business executive. The book, Why Didn't They Teach Me That in School? 99 Personal Money Management Principles to Live By, available on Amazon. And also you can go to the website, Why Didn't They Teach Me That in School.com. Quick break. Word from our sponsor. Stay right there.
Hi, I'm Teresa Rand with the Volusia Flagler YMCA. Our Y has 6 locations to help you reach your health and fitness goals. With a focus on healthy living, youth development, and social responsibility, there are many different options to get your family involved, such as sports, swim, exercise, and much more. For more information on how your Y can help with your health and fitness goals, check out www.vfymca.org.
Hello, this is David Holland. You already know from listening to this program that I'm very careful about my financial advice. It will come as no surprise then that I feel the same way about my other recommendations. If you love traditional, authentic Greek food as much as I do, then there's just one place to go, the Greek Town Taverna at 150 North Nova Road in Ormond Beach. It's just around the corner from my office, so you'll see me there for lunch at least a couple times a week. They've got stuffed grape leaves, gyros, lamb chops, octopus, and baklava. You can find all of these wonderful homemade Greek favorites every day of the week. They offer a wide variety of wine and beer to pair with your meal as well. Visit GreekTownTaverna.com or call 386-944-9526 for more information. I'll see you there.
Done right, done on time, or it's free. Hi, this is Steve Tassinelli, and I'm a CPA with Holland Tax and Accounting Services. Our tax team holds the same values our clients have trusted for almost 20 years at Holland Financial. We have the expertise to help you manage your financial priorities year-round, not just during tax season. Whether you're an individual or a business, you can rely on Holland Tax for personalized service and attention to detail. Call 386-671-7526 to have your taxes done right, done on time, or it's free. That's 386-671-7526.
Hey, we're back with Kerry Siegel, author, retired business executive, wrote the book, Why Didn't They Teach Me This in School? 99 Personal Money Management Principles to Live By. And you can get it on a website. And of course, Kerry's website, Why Didn't They Teach Me This in School.com. And so we went through some of the big principles. I think you had one more for us, Kerry. What was it?
Yeah, the next one is something that I learned in business school. And I the only thing I remember from school, all my schooling, is from a professor's offhand comment. Accounting professor, and he just said, you know, in class, said, you know, you guys are going to get out of school, you'll make some money, and then maybe a year into it, maybe a little less, a little bit more, you'll get a raise. So what I want you to do each and every time you get that raise is save and invest 50% of every salary increase you get. And, you know, you think about that. And he said this, you're living on your old salary before your raise. You can have the best of both worlds, live a little bit better and save more for your future. And here's what happens. Most people get behind because they didn't do the first two things. They didn't have a budget. They didn't live below their means.
Right.
But if you do this, if you do the first two, then you do this one, it's amazing how over just even a 10-year period you look and you go, whoa, look
right.
what I've accomplished, regardless of how much you make, by the way. You know, Kanye West is $58 million in debt. Okay, he made a lot of money, you know. There's other folks that are not in debt doing quite well because, and they might have only been making $40,000, $50,000 in salary.
Yeah.
Because of what they're doing and how they're managing that.
Well, that definitely puts a perspective on it, doesn't it? You know, it's, you know, sometimes I hear people make that kind of comment saying, I'm in better financial position than the U.S. government. I don't have, you know, the $19 trillion in debt, but you make a real good one with a celebrity or somebody that's, you know, at least, you know, known in pop culture. So, well, those are three of the big ones. Now, a lot of this is quantitative, as us accountants would say, you know, in the people in the financial world look at things quantitatively and looking at the hard numbers and, you know, it's black or white, but there are qualitative aspects of this that I think that people need to bear in mind. And so what are some of those aspects that we should be thinking about, Kerry?
Sure. I've got a few of them. The first one sounds strange, but it's right. Marry the financially right person. And by saying that, I want to make sure everyone understands. I'm not saying marry someone wealthy. I say marry a person that you're consistent with in terms of how you think about money. Mm-hmm. And that's a tough one because think about when you're dating. What's the last thing you talk about? What's the last thing you show people? You're always impressing them with a date something that's cost money, whatever it may be.
Right.
You've got to have those serious conversations about how do you spend your money? Are you in debt? You know, is the person in debt? Mm. How much do they make? You know, what are things like that? Those are tough. So that's a soft one. You know, that's a soft one. Consistent with that is if you stay married to that person, you're also going to be better off financially because I know many people that are in their third and fourth marriages and, you know, you keep splitting your money, you're not going to end up in a very good spot. So, again, that's more, you know, when I say the quantitative side, it's important. The same thing with kids. You know, I have five kids. I had no idea. You know, because I wrote this book doesn't mean I practiced all these principles the best way.
Yeah.
But I have five kids. To raise a kid costs $250,000.
At least.
Just to get into 18. So to understand when you have children that it's going to cause you to have a larger place to live, maybe a different car or whatever it may be.
Yep. Check, check. Yes to both
absolutely.
Of those.
Right? Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. I've got the biggest SUV they make. Cause, I mean, hey, look, that's fine. That's part of the deal. And I knew that. But your point's well put, Kerry, that, these are all things when you think about family and the relationships. And, you know, it goes to the kind of this theme that we've heard of, you know, who you surround yourself with, who you interact with, the people, all those things are, you know, influences that either can be good influences or not so good. And, you know, in there's a lot, of course, at work when somebody's choosing a spouse or a relationship, but, you know, it certainly doesn't hurt to say, hey, by the way, you know, you are very attractive, but let's talk about that credit score.
Yeah, no, you're right. You know, it's funny. You're absolutely right. That that tying in with that, when you say, you know, you gotta worry about, you know, somewhat, you know, what's going on with the other person and not care about, I'll call it things on the outside. You've got to also watch out with what I call it, you know, don't keep up with the Joneses. They're going bankrupt.
Yeah.
You know, you look at somebody, you know, you make sure you're around the right people and you understand what they're all about. But you don't necessarily have to have everything that they have.
Right.
Because you know what? You don't know their financial situation. And you go into work and you go, oh, gosh, you know I make more money than that person. They've got a nicer car.
Right.
I got to get that car.
That's right. You don't know what's going on.
I always tell my kids, adult peer pressure actually gets worse when you're an adult.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you don't think about it when you're younger because you're like, well, no, what does it matter? I'll do what I want. Well, people tend to want to be, you know, like others or better than them, and you can't get caught up in that. You got to get caught up with what's important to you.
Well, you made a great point, Cary, and I'm sure that this is throughout your book, some of the observations and insights you share is that you don't know what's going on with the other person. You know, it's this whole idea of trying to keep up with other people. You don't know. You don't know if they are, as you talked about with Kanye West, you know, you don't know if they're leveraged to the hilt or severely underwater and there's just an image there. You don't know if they, you know, I mean, there are crazy things you just don't know. And they could be the beneficiary of family, quote unquote, money. There could be who knows? I mean, there could be so many different things, and you just need to focus on what makes sense for you.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. Well, it's a lot. We've hit three or four of the principles. There's 95 more to go that you can take a look at in Cary's book, Why Didn't They Teach Me This in School? 99 Personal Money Management Principles to Live By. Young, older, middle, wherever you are, a book like this can really help put things in simple and straightforward, understandable language. So, Cary, I really appreciate the work you've done here, and we'll direct people over to Amazon and, of course, your website. There's a lot of good information there. Why didn't they teach me this in school.com? So, Cary, thanks for being with us. We've enjoyed it.
Hey, thank you. Anytime.
All right. We thank you very much.
Today's edition of Real Money Radio has been brought to you by Holland Financial, conveniently located on Granada Boulevard in Ormond Beach. Could you benefit from a one-on-one confidential conversation with David Holland, or would you like a second opinion to make sure that you're on the right track? Call Holland Financial at 671-PLAN or visit us at planstronger.com to schedule your no-obligation consultation. David looks forward to discussing the financial issues that matter most to you. The host of Real Money Radio, David Holland, is a certified financial planner with over 20 years of experience. And because David provides advice to clients on a daily basis, his hyperactive compliance department wants us to tell you that David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, a registered investment advisory firm. He offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Commentary given during this radio program should not be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities are not an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and planning services can only be given after an analysis of an individual situation and only where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering. Real Money Radio is produced by Holland Productions.